I hope you're enjoying Bayside Church Online. Christy and I thought we would do a little bit of banter together again.
Absolutely. We heard that you enjoyed the banter, so here goes.
Yes. They might actually regret giving
us feedback.
Really good feedback.
But let's get into it.
Let's do it indeed. I read this online recently, the 8 pandemic expressions that we don't ever want to hear again.
Well, one of them has to be the new normal. There ain't no normal. The only time you are going to see normal ever again is when you put on the washing machine, the normal cycle.
Oh, is that it?
That's it.
Okay.
Maybe twice a day if you do a lot of washing.
So there is a normal cycle on the washing machine. I love it.
Say
the other things are social distancing, unprecedented, uncertain, trying times, essential, toilet paper shortage, and this one I think really takes the cake, and this is the Prime Minister of Canada recently. He talked about speaking moistly.
Oh, it's a terrible, thought.
Yeah.
But you've got to realise that people spray. You know, we always say they spray when they pray.
Mm.
Well, they spray when they talk.
I spray when I preach.
Yeah, you do.
I baptise the front
row.
Get
an umbrella in the front,
By sprinkling, you know.
100%.
But he was talking about the use of masks that can prevent people from breathing or speaking moistly.
Yeah.
And as soon as he said it, he said he immediately regretted the turn of phrase and said, ah, what a terrible image.
Yeah, and never lived it down since.
Yeah, exactly. It went viral. So as we come to the end of Melbourne's lockdown and we begin opening up again, there are some things that we can be aware of, and that's what we want to unpack
today. Yeah, absolutely, because people are feeling ambiguous about it, and it's one of the things we want to talk about a little bit further on down the track. But some people are really excited and just want to go, you know, woohoo, here we are. And others are like, oh.
Yeah, feeling a bit reticent.
So, you know, we just wanted to explore that a little bit and maybe put some things out there for you to have a think about and see how it's going to look like in your world.
Absolutely. So I want to tie this in with what I shared last weekend about peace or protest from Jeremiah chapter 29, and remembering that the people of Israel were heading back after captivity, heading back to Jerusalem to rebuild the city. And so let's pick up the story in Jeremiah 29 at verse 10. This is what the Lord says: when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place, speaking of Jerusalem. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. And so I want you to imagine for a moment how the people must have been feeling. They've actually, a whole generation has passed away, really. Mm. And this whole new generation that's been born and raised in Babylon, that's what they're used to. And then they're told, now you've got to go back to Jerusalem. Mm. Mm. And there would have been some people who were excited.
Yep.
Other people would have been dragging their feet.
And other people would have no idea what that was like.
Yeah. Mm. And so as we look at that story, let's investigate how we're feeling individually and corporately as we embrace this new season. So first of all, let's reflect on what you've enjoyed and what you haven't liked about the lockdown restrictions in Melbourne.
Well, I haven't spoken to one person yet who's at a stage, a working person, who has not said that the way they were living was unsustainable, that they were constantly tittering on the edge, that they didn't have enough time for family, didn't have enough time for creative things, just literally living on the edge of their life. So I think that people in lockdown have thought about some of the more basic things. And even just the simplicity of having a decision taken away from you. Do we do this or this or this in the weekend? Well, actually, you do nothing because you can't. And so changing from that baseline of we're safe, we don't have to do anything, to now we've got to choose, and how do we choose, is a real question. Mm. And how do we learn when we've got the balance right? Because frankly, Rob, I think that this has cost us all so much that if we don't learn from this and really take healthy things into the future, you know, nothing's a mistake if you don't learn from it.
Yep.
But we need to learn from this.
Yeah, very
and,
true.
And adapt.
Yep. There have been certain things that I think people have enjoyed. As you say, the slower pace of life, all those decisions being removed from them and so on and so forth. Other things, of course, we've really not liked. The fact that we haven't been able to catch up with family, we haven't seen friends, you know, business has been closed, church gatherings have not been possible. We've been doing lots of stuff online, as we'll talk about later.
But we have still been connected or been able to be connected, albeit in ways that we maybe didn't really want to be or wasn't enough for us. But you think about people whose sons went off to war, for example. The best they could wish for would be a letter, not a Zoom call. And so I think we've become so used to our expectations sitting up here that when they're not met exactly how we want them, if our coffee's not served the way we want it, if, oh, God forbid, our restaurant down the street is open, but it's got a limited takeaway menu. I mean, seriously, those are all surface things that show us that our life was out of kilter.
Yeah.
And we need to take it a step back and slow it down.
I think we can learn a lot from the Apostle Paul. Here he is in jail writing about things like joy and contentment. And
actually, that's an interesting thing you say about being in jail. A psychologist said to me, you have an unusual skill set for dealing with this. And that is, and I thought, really? And I thought, yeah, I have. Because say, for example, if you've been given the death penalty and it changes from death to 30 years, that's a win, right?
Yeah.
And if it changes from 30 years to 15, that's a win. You know, dealing with prisoners, they don't get to choose what time they go to bed. They don't get to choose what they eat. They can't order Uber Eats. They can't go for a walk along the beach. They can't, you know, all these things. And they have to just learn to work with what they can control. And that is, this is what the Apostle Paul is talking about.
He's being content in that moment,
in
that situation.
And so if you were to gauge yourself on a good day, on a good day from 0 to 10 on being content, how would that have gone?
On a good day during restrictions?
Yeah.
Oh, on a good day, probably around a 7 out of 10.
And on a bad day?
Less than 7.
So I just don't even know if we have grappled with that. What is our contentment ability? What's our window? We talk about our window of tolerance. You know, how much, where are we happy to be content?
Yeah.
Where will
good
enough
question.
Be enough or little be too little?
Yeah. So Paul writes these magnificent words in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. He says, I have learned. This is a learned thing. Learn to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me the strength.
And, you know, let's just take a moment and go, ooh, maybe the whole distilling of contentment, you know, is still something that we need to do between now and the end of the year.
Sure.
Because yes, as things are opening, just because they are doesn't mean we should.
Yep.
We don't need to add everything to our list all of a sudden and have a think about, am I content or am I pushing at the boundaries that I shouldn't be pushing at?
Great questions. Great questions and really good self-reflection as well. Toward the end of his ministry, Paul wrote about contentment again. He said, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. And none of us went without food and clothing.
No, we didn't. And maybe if, God forbid, we go into another lockdown, we should actually write that up. If I have food and clothing, I ought to be content.
Yeah, it's a good statement. So that's number one. Maybe just do some self-reflection over the next few days. What have you enjoyed and what have you disliked about the restrictions?
And maybe just when you're reflecting, think about what issue that speaks into. Is it an issue that you feel as if you're being controlled or your style is being cramped or that you're not getting what you want when you want? What is it that is making you antsy about that? And sit with that and see if there's a bigger issue. And then address those bigger issues by where the fruits of the Spirit can come in and really give you that supernatural kind of leg up that you need. This is not about battering yourself. It's about being compassionate so you can learn to move into the future with your new learnings.
Yeah, very, very good. Love that. Number two, what do you want to take with you into the future? What would you say?
Oh, really, my curiosity, and you love this one, my curiosity is how to have fun without any money. So what have I done today that has cost nothing and given me a giggle, or very little? So, I mean, our house has almost become a greenhouse. Any spare plastic lid that I have is over some seedlings somewhere. Rob had the green thumb. I didn't do a gardening thing before lockdown, and now I am growing anything and everything, and it's everywhere in our home.
Well, I used to joke about it. Like, you used to buy pot plants, and I'm like, why do you buy pot plants? Because you don't water them, and they die, and I have to look after them. But now
I bought them for you to look after.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. And now?
But now I have my little green babies. In fact, this morning I woke up and I had a little flutter of excitement. Oh, do you know what it was about?
Me.
No, that was yesterday.
Okay.
No, I had a little flutter of excitement. I thought, I'm going to get all my green babies, all my pot plants, and put them in the shower and give them a really nice shower.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Watch them all.
Yeah, I could hear them all shining at me going, yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. So just so you can imagine, our house and our garden are covered in seedlings and plants and stuff. Anyway, it's
but
lovely.
That's one of them. Baking's another thing. Writing letters. I've gone back to writing letters, especially with Gigi being away.
Yeah.
But writing little notes are meaningful. You know, taking my paintbrush out, taking my, you know, colouring book out, all looking at the things that I have.
Mm.
And also sometimes when I'm creating a little menu of things that I can do to help me self-regulate. If I'm feeling a little bit uptight or a little bit irritated and I don't know why, what are some of the things that can self-regulate me? And sometimes when I feel overwhelmed, it's a case of going, if I spent 10 minutes right now doing something, what out of these things would actually make me feel really good?
Great.
And that I am definitely going to take into the future.
So again, reflect on that this week. Mm. What do you want to take with you that you've learned during the last couple of years? What do you want to take with you into the future?
And on that, on that, maybe looking and reassessing. So if you decide that you're going to go out with some friends and then afterwards you come back and you've had a great time but you're absolutely exhausted and then you've got more friends the next day, you maybe go one day on, one day off, and talk to your partner about it.
Yeah. Totally. Number three, how do you feel about reopening? People will have different expectations, different feelings, like we mentioned before. Some will be like, gung-ho, let's do this. Other people will be reticent.
Yep.
I think, you know, I mean, during the lockdown, we've had to think about our extrovert friends, but now we have to consider our introvert friends.
And interestingly, some of our extrovert friends, the ones who are social, who've been driving for the social things, have also said little sneaky things like me, like, oh my goodness, when we open up, it's too fast and I need another lockdown. And then there's another lockdown. And I go, no, you don't need another lockdown. You need to modify how you're thinking about this and deal with what the deepest thing inside you is. So some people are experiencing ambiguous grief, especially some of our kids. They want to see their friends, but they're feeling overwhelmed about getting out and getting into school again. You know, and also there's people who are looking forward to getting to visit their homes, their homelands and things like that. But there's also that sense of, oh my goodness, it's not going to be the same. So there's that push and pull going on. And I think you have to be really aware of that. Don't make the assumption. It's like when people have a baby, everyone makes the assumption, oh my goodness, all the, you know, the maternal, you know, this comes out and nothing's a problem. Well, that might have happened for you, but for others, it's really a tough time.
Yes.
And so don't make the assumption that everybody's going, it's great to be out. Now, some people are going, I'm not sure how to do this.
Yeah. And be honest.
Be honest, be compassionate, and listen to what people are saying and regulate some of the way you're feeling with what the people, you know, around you are feeling.
Reflect on how you're feeling personally as well as those people.
Yeah.
Number four, what are some of the things that we can do to help us ease back? What would you say?
Well, I heard a lovely story about grizzly bears the other day, and I thought this is so true. So a grizzly bear goes into hibernation, and before it goes into hibernation, it eats over 100,000 blueberries a day. And that just made me think immediately of toilet rolls. That, not because we use 100,000 toilet rolls in our home, but because when there was the news of lockdowns, people would go out and store up with the toilet rolls or hoard. Mm. But the bear purposefully does that. Basically what it does is it puts itself into a diabetic coma, more or less. And so we've sort of comatized ourselves a little bit. You know, there's a little bit of maintenance that we would do normally if we were visually in front of people, and, you know, the hair gets longer and the, you know, well, whatever happens, you know, all those other bits and pieces of personal maintenance that we let go. People are talking about, you know, sleeping in longer or putting in something that they wanted to do before because they don't have the commute. All those sort of things. So, with the grizzly bear, you know, they say, don't poke the bear.
Yeah.
Well, don't poke the bear. Don't poke the bear in you or in someone else. So, a bear, when it comes out of hibernation, is sozzled. It's half cup. It's like, you know, and if you see that motion in people when you say, let's do this, and they go, you know that that bear doesn't need to be poked. It's coming out of hibernation. And it takes a bear 3 to 4 weeks to do this. So give yourself the space and the time, and don't poke each other. And don't set up, don't fill your dance cards.
Yeah, and that includes on social media as well.
Oh, please.
You know, when you see that post, don't poke the bear. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Like, use some self-control.
Yeah, because if you poke the bear, it'll either attack you or you yourself will not feel good. Pay attention to where something's taken you. Ignatius says about, you know, if something pulls you towards God, it's great. And if it takes you away from the fruits of the Spirit and God, then it's not a great thing to put yourself in the middle of.
So you can use that as your filter. Is it loving, joyous, gentle, peaceable?
Kind, compassionate. And, you know, we ourselves are often, I speak to this for absolute, you know, I had just some time off and I forgot to give a very important person a telephone number to contact me on, and they're desperately trying to contact me, and I wanted to, you know, to whip myself, and I realized I wouldn't do that to somebody else. If it was somebody on our team, I'd go, first thing I would go, okay, you've dropped the ball, admit you've dropped the ball, then what can we learn for next time? And then, oh, I feel terrible, but you're only human.
Yeah.
And so do that to yourself.
Yeah.
Say, and I'm learning this. I am still learning this all the time.
So you give yourself the grace that you would extend to other people.
Absolutely.
Very important.
And, you know, I think I was thinking about this yesterday. I, more than ever before, life before COVID, and life post-COVID, I want to live my life writing my eulogy, not my CV. I want to be... live it as how I want to be remembered and not just for what I do.
Wonderful. A human being, not a human doing.
Yeah. Yep.
Love it. Let's wrap up talking about church because...
Yeah. That's next, isn't it?
Yeah, because church is going to be able to start gathering again. Second Sunday of November, I think it's the 14th of November, we'll be back in person as well as Bayside Church online as well. I reacted to what I saw on social media, particularly at the beginning of the pandemic, when I was reading a lot, hearing a lot from people saying, oh, the church is closed, the church is closed. And I started posting, no, building closed, church open.
And to be honest with you, our people, those who call themselves people who are part of Bayside and connected, have been amazing because the mission of the church through your prayers and your financial giving has continued, in fact, grown through the pandemic because our mission is clear, is to courageously love people and help them to become like Jesus. And our mission is strong that we are transforming into a community of faith, hope and love. Mm. And that continued even more strongly through COVID.
Yep.
So, but also as we move forward, you know, people have connected in smaller groups and that's great, but work is not a substitute for being at
a church gathering
with your family.
Yeah.
And online is fantastic. And also, it's not either or, it's and also.
Yeah, very much so. A few weeks ago in our ministry leaders meeting, we brainstormed some of the things that we have done as a church through the lockdown period. So basically last year and this year. And this is just amazing. Many administration achievements, upgrades to the building, YouVersion Bible app. We've had dozens of people engaging with different devotionals over the last couple of years. Online Connect.
Online church, online foyer sessions.
Online Connect groups.
Yep.
Tuesday Night Live.
Lots of care packages.
Yep. Yep. Step to God, Step to Church. And this year we've put Step to Leadership together, which is going to be launched next year.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Youth has been growing. We've got our immerse gatherings on the third Thursday of every month now. Anita and Bayside Kids pioneered Fegal Tales.
I know, and they've done such a good
littlies.
Job.
Beautiful. Absolutely stunning. Absolutely. Many of our pastoral team and our Connect Group leaders have been reaching out to people who are part of Bayside Church during this time as well.
Yep.
And the list just goes on and on. That's about 50%.
Brave Brew, Respite from Reality, Takeaway Food at Matt's Place, Men's Ministry, the Digging Deeper podcast, Contemplator Prayer Online, Angel Tree, Building Plans, Young Adults, and restructuring the new Young Adults program, Emergency Relief in the Dandenongs. I mean, there's a lot.
Yeah.
A lot has gone on. And and you guys have been so faithful. And listen, we know that you're there and you've got a little gadget and you can flick from one TV and one church to the other. But ultimately, there is going to be a place that you call home, a place that you will actually get eyes, that will actually call you on your birthday, bring the cake. You know, it is... It's good that you bring your learnings from other places, but as we open up as well, I think it's important that we know who we've got with us, because we absolutely want to make sure that nobody goes through, you know, the cracks.
Yeah.
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 Absolutely.
So
it's
true.
Really hard.
Yeah.
You know.
So this is it. The vision and mission of the church didn't stop. We are committed to that and to you. And we need to know that we have a community of people who are fully committed to that vision and mission as we end one year and we head into the new year. And the thing I love about our first in-person gathering on the 14th of November is that weekend is Vision Weekend for 2022.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
So we get to, you know, kind of regather and relaunch as a church, which I'm so excited about. So, and plus we've our Connect groups as well. Our Connect groups, many of them have continued during this time on Zoom, but in a few weeks' time, our Connect groups are going to be able to regather again, which is really, really cool. So outside,
people have missed that.
In homes, you know, outside in parks,
walking, picnics,
all
sorts of things.
And the thing is that we got to understand is that we are made. God created us for community right in the very beginning. You know, in Genesis 1:26, it says, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." God didn't say, "Why don't I make you like me?" He said, "Why don't we make you like us?"
Yeah.
Which is stunning.
And it's like those skyscrapers in New York that you know so much
about. I know so much about.
To get the higher up they go, the deeper down you got to go.
Apparently.
And one of the things for me as I move forward in life, it's not about wider relationships, it's about deeper.
Yeah.
Because that's where you get the change, that's where you get the transformation. And that's what happens in Connect groups. And when you're meeting with people that you wouldn't otherwise meet with, which is a community. It's not just a group of friends. It's a community.
That's right. You know, about 100 times in the New Testament, it uses the words one another or something similar to that. And 59 of those times, it uses the word as some kind of command to us in the church gathering. So, you know, love one another, be devoted to one another, honour one another, live in harmony with one another, accept one another, and so on. I'm including that list, by the way, with your message notes on the Bayside Church website or app, so you can download that and have a look at all the scripture references. But, you know, it's hard to do one another on your own.
Well, you can't really.
No, exactly.
Unless you actually need to see a mental health professional, which is possible.
So, you
after
know,
COVID.
Absolutely, yeah. how true that is. But, you know, the Bible says one another because there is an expectation that we're doing our Christian life in community with other followers of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So one another is so very important.
And it's so rich. Like, you know, we know from science that we are generally attracted to the same people, the same type of people. And so therefore, you know, the Bible talks about iron sharpening iron. And in community, you come across people that you would never come across normally or never naturally gravitate to.
So
and
true.
They show you your shadow side. They show you prejudices. They show you, you know, where your biases are. And those are all areas that can be worked on so that we can reflect and show the love of Christ a lot more strongly.
Mm. Become more like Jesus.
Yeah, fancy that.
Instead of running from that, we need to actually face up to that.
Yeah.
People will push our buttons from time to time.
And that's why we want to be inclusive instead of getting into little huddles that it's only people of like mind and like stage in life that get together.
Yeah, very good point. Mm. Very good point. I love the verses in Hebrews 10, verses 24, 25. Let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Yeah. And look, I think there are some people who, since COVID, are struggling to think about how that's going to look. They've got so out of the habit of being at church and coming to church. And if that's you, please don't feel any judgment. But it might be worth you having a chat with us and telling us how you're feeling and how we can maybe help you and how we can support you, because, you know, we want to see you. We've missed you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when we started opening up at the beginning of 2021 and we had that, remember that dream run from January through to the end of May, I think it was, and almost every week someone would turn up and say, this is my first time back in church.
Yeah, it was hard for me to get
for
back.
For a year, hard, you know.
And some people, it was as simple as, oh my gosh, I've put on so much weight, I don't have any clothes to wear to church. Well, it doesn't matter. You can come in your onesie, it's fine.
Totally. We love you just the way you are, as Billy Joel would say. So we want to gather together again in safe and new ways. How do we see, how do we ease back into gathering, do you think?
Well, I think it's going to look like the first thing when we see you, we're going to be so excited to see you. So expect a warm welcome.
Yeah.
Expect that we will have certain things in place which we're required to have by law, and we're going to make those as seamless as we possibly can. But please be patient with us, because everything changes from week to week.
Yeah.
And we are trying to follow that and make it as streamless as possible. And you can be sure of a warm welcome, and you can be sure that there'll be many people who will be pleased to see you. If you're feeling overwhelmed, you know, just there's so many areas in the church that you can just sit in, just ease in and you know, chat to someone.
Yeah. So you can talk to your Connect group leader, us, one of the other ministry leaders, and encourage one another.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful. Any other things you'd like to say before we wrap up?
Well, I think an important thing is that coming back, so I've told you the story of the grizzly bear.
Yeah.
So I like to, when we go on holiday, which seems like such a long time
ago
now.
It does, doesn't it?
When we go on holiday, Rob keeps on saying to me, oh my goodness, there's another wave of relaxation comes. So you've been wound up at a certain level and then you start to relax and then you start to relax. But we've been sort of, we had to dive into lockdown. So, but when you come up out of lockdown, it's like coming up from the compression of being in and small and restricted. And as you come up in stages, and because otherwise too much oxygen going bubbles in your brain and it's not going to be great.
No.
So come up in stages, and as I said, we're here to assist you with that and to help you out.
Yeah, indeed. Wonderful. Well, I hope you've gained something from our discussion. Why don't you pray for everyone before we wrap up?
Yeah. Father, I just thank you for everyone, Lord, that is listening to this. Lord, I pray that it would bring hope and joy deep in their heart. Father, I pray that they would feel your embrace. Lord, that you would be very close to people as they go through this process. Lord, that you would encourage them to reflect and to think about the things that help them to feel content, to feel grounded, to feel at one in you and by your Spirit. And Lord, I pray that supernaturally you will reignite those fires of connection, Lord, that people will go deep, not necessarily wide, Lord, and that need for human belonging, that need for acceptance, that need for significance, Lord, will be met in each other, Lord, in a way that is pleasing in your sight. And Lord, I pray for everyone that has heard this, Lord, that you would help them to know the things that need to be left behind, the things that need to be shaken off, and the things, Lord, that will take them into a wider and more beautiful and more spacious future. Because we know the plans you have for us,
Lord.
Plans for a future and for a hope. And you are a good God and a good Father. And we love and we adore you. And we love your people. And Lord, Rob and I thank you once again and commit our lives to serving you and to loving you and to doing whatever we can to share and help carry this load with you as you move into the future that God has for you and the ones you love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.